In your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, you're joining us tonight in the midst of a series on music. And so in the series on music, we have dealt with the principle of the new song, and that when we're saved, we are given new life. We have a new birth that gives us new life, that makes us a new creature, that gives us a new song. In fact, one of the very first evidences that we find in Scripture of somebody who has been saved is the new song. Out of 24 references in the Bible where the Bible deals with something new about the believer, 9 of those references deal with the new song, pointing to the fact that when a person gets saved, one of the areas that God makes new, one of the areas that God changes, is He gives you a new song. That principle is very important in the discussion of music, because that new song ought to be different than the world's music. It ought to be different than the music that somebody listens to when they're lost. It ought to be a different appetite for the kind of music that you allow into your soul. It's a new song. In this series, we've introduced some principles. One is music is a battleground for the heart. That is, there are some things that affect our hearts. They are inputs that we allow into our heart. There are things that we view. Our eyes allow inputs that affect our heart. Jeremiah spoke of that in Lamentations chapter 3 when he said, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." And so there's those inputs. But there's also inputs that come in through our ears. And music is one of those things that we give ourselves to, that we make choices in that area. And as a result, that affects my heart. Second principle we learned is that Satan is a musician. That means he's subtle in that area. That means he knows that area. And he is battling for that area in the hearts and lives of not only unsaved people, but in the hearts and lives of Christians. If he can steer us wrong in that area, if we drift in that area, he knows he has access to where? My heart, because music's a battleground of the heart. Third principle we learned is that music is not amoral. Music is right and wrong. It's not a neutral area. It's not something that we just throw up in the air and say, well, everybody has their taste. And so whatever style you like is okay to you. Whatever style I like is okay to me. No, music's not that way. Music is... It has influence. It does influence us in a right and a wrong direction. That means we've got to be guarded. In the last 2 weeks, I've really stressed to our church the importance of putting on discernment and testing things in this area. And over the last 2 weeks, we've taught through a number of biblical filters to discern what is godly music and what is not godly music. I think that's important. I think in America today, Christians are somewhat dropping their guard in the area of discernment. The Bible says, prove all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Hold fast to those things which are good. We're to prove, we're to test all things. Music is included or encompassed in that Bible principle. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 9, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and his prayer was that they would approve things that were excellent, or in their spiritual growth, in their spiritual maturity, that they would become a tester. That they would test whether something is excellent or not. A number of passages teach us that one of the responsibilities of the Christian is to test things by the Word of God, by the principles of the Word of God. And so over the last 2 weeks, we've dealt with filters dealing with godly music, or how to discern what is godly versus what is not. And so tonight I want to preach on the subject of the ministry of music. The ministry of music. I use the word ministry in contrast to the word entertainment. All right? There's music out there today that entertains. And there's music that is set on ministering. And there's a drastic difference between the two. Tonight I want to deal with the ministry of music. The ministry of music means that the musician and the listener or the audience are moved by the music, the godly character it reflects, and by the clear message of the lyrics that it ministers to one's soul and spirit. That is the kind of music that we're looking for, both in our personal lives and in our home and in our church. And so tonight I want to deal with the ministry of music, first in your heart, secondly in your home, and thirdly in the church. Entertaining music is where the musician and his audience are moved by the performer's ability to communicate, influence, control, and inspire. In ministry, the attention is drawn to God through the instrument and the individual ministering the music. In entertainment, the attention is drawn to the individual performing the music. When music in church becomes entertainment, it is viewed as an event. Oh, we're going to have now this special number, and it's an event in our service. No, it's not an event. It's a ministry. It's a ministry when our orchestra plays an offertory, or the pianist plays, or the choir sings, or the young men, all the grandchildren, stand up and sing. It's ministry. It's to be done in a right way. It's to be done with right music. It's to be done without any glaring performance, people drawing attention to themselves. Because ministry points people, the ministry of music points people's mind and affections to God. That's ministry of music. And so it is an offering to the Lord. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 by way of introduction tonight. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse number 15. Of course, in the Old Testament, they'd offered sacrifices, right? They offered sacrifices of praise. Remember when Noah came out of the ark? What did he do? He built an altar, and he offered a sacrifice. A sacrifice of what? A sacrifice of thanksgiving. Lord, you've protected us. Lord, you've taken care of us. Lord, you've delivered us. Lord, you've allowed the floodwaters to recede. Lord, we're stopping to offer a sacrifice of praise to you, and we're doing it by means of an altar. Now, do we offer animals as sacrifices today? No. In the New Testament, God changes the way that we praise Him in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And so, when we offer something to God, folks, this is in private. This is taking a hymn book in your devotions, and maybe for that morning you've opened it up and you're singing Nearer to God. Nearer, my God, to Thee. That's an offering. I'm not singing that for my good. I'm singing that for His glory, and it is to be offered unto Him. Remember, music is not about what I like. Music is about what I'm offering to God. This is unto the Lord. That makes this thing a very serious thing that we're dealing with, the ministry of music. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to see a couple of things about the ministry of music in your heart. The ministry of music in your heart. The Bible says, wherefore, in verse number 17 of Ephesians chapter 5, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice the semicolon there in verse number 18. Meaning what? I'm not done with this thought yet. So there's a contrast in verse number 18. The contrast is somebody that's under the control of alcohol. Somebody that's drunk. By the way, what is the crime today for alcohol under the influence of? You know what? Our justice system got it right. I wonder where they got it from. The Bible. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The reason we know that drunkenness is control is because of the contrast in the Scripture where the Bible says we're not to be controlled by an outside substance. We are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and under His control. What then is the fruit of that? Verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the evidences of being under the control of the Spirit is you singing to yourself. What kind of music? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, rock doesn't really fit into that. Rock music is not a psalm or a hymn or a spiritual song. Country music doesn't fit into that. It's not really a psalm or a hymn or a spiritual song. And so, how do I know that I'm controlled by the Spirit? By the kind of music that I sing to myself, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You hear somebody whistling a tune in the shower in the morning. You hear somebody singing around the house with something that they're playing. That's a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song. That's evidence. That's evidence that there's Spirit control in that person's life. Because the Bible says, but be filled with the Spirit. Here's how it happens now. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me challenge you tonight. You say, preacher, I'm not really a person about music. I'm not a musician. I don't have a voice that I can carry a tune. In fact, you wouldn't want me in your choir. I'm just not a musician. Hear me. You don't have to be a musician, but you should give your ears and you should give your mouth to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You say, well, you know, if somebody hears me, I'd be scared. Then sing in the car on the way to work by yourself and roll the windows up. All right? In other words, give yourself to some of this in your life. Get some good music into your life. Why? Because it is an evidence that the Spirit controls you. And by the way, when your mind is on those kind of words and that kind of music, guess where your mind is going? Right up there. Set your affection right up here on things above. Music helps me to do that. And so the ministry of music in your heart is something that naturally comes from being controlled by the Spirit of God. Let me give you some benefits of godly music in your life tonight. Number one, godly music is part of you choosing to be thankful. Every time you sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. By the way, choir, one of the great benefits you have is every Sunday night at 5 o'clock, guess what you're doing? You're singing to yourselves in what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the great things about being in the ministry of choir, Brother Larry, you have testified of this over and over again, is throughout the week, guess what keeps popping in your head? The songs that you practice for an hour up here and able to minister to the congregation, but it ministers to you. And it's part of the choice of being thankful. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 18, Psalm chapter 18, and let's look at verse number 49. I want you to see the connection between thanks and singing, or thanksgiving and singing. In Psalm 18 and verse number 49, the Bible simply says this, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord. We talked about the I wills in Sunday school this morning, and the I wills are choices, daily choices the psalmist makes in difficult times. The psalmist had numbers of things in his life that he could not control, but he could control this. I will give thanks, and I will sing. And he made those decisions. Notice that singing is connected to thanksgiving. Singing is connected to thanksgiving. One of the benefits of godly music is it begins to magnify the Lord in your heart, which produces what? Thanksgiving. I stand redeemed. Man, how do I stand redeemed? He redeemed me. There is something to thank the Lord about in that song. And it brings something to my mind. And as a result of bringing it to my mind, I'm so thankful that I have a standing with God of being bought back by Him. I've been redeemed. Boy, when you give yourself to the right kind of music, it's going to generate thanksgiving in your heart. The psalmist testifies of that. Not only in Psalm 18, but in Psalm 30 and verse number 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks unto the remembrance of His holiness. And so, it's part of choosing to be thankful. The ministry of music in your own heart. Number two, godly music is part of choosing to rejoice. Part of choosing to rejoice. This area of our lives is integral because it brings our heart to the right place in our lives. It brings us to thanksgiving, number one, but number two, it brings us to rejoicing. In your Bibles, turn over to Psalm 9 and verse number 2. Psalm chapter 9 and verse number 2. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to push you, if you'll allow me tonight. I want to beseech you to give some time in your life to godly music. To give your time, some time in your life to singing a hymn as part of your daily devotions. To give some time in your life to listening to, instead of a talk show where you're just going to hear all the world's problems and man's ideas on how to solve them, turn that thing over to a good musical CD. Set your mind at ease and set your mind on God. Listen, godly music in our lives points us to right things. Here in Psalm 9, verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. I'm singing. What did that singing produce? It produced joy. Tonight we sang, faith is the victory. Man, I have victory at the end of this life. What am I worried about today? This music communicates truth that causes me to what? Forget about whatever happened bad today. Faith is the victory. My mind's reset on something that I can rejoice in. You know, the devil wants to steal your joy. He wants to take your daily joy away. And there's a lot of things that will do it. Just read the newspaper on your phone for a minute and find out who was murdered in York today. Who was kidnapped. You know, there's a lot of bad news today. Not very good news all around us. The devil wants to steal joy. And God says, hey, here's a resource. Put some godly music in your life. And let it give you a cause for rejoicing. Thirdly, godly music resets your heart on praise. It resets your heart on praise. When do I need my heart reset, preacher? When you're complaining? Anybody have trouble with that? I do. When I'm discontent, I'm not happy with how life's going, I don't think I deserve this in my life. Ooh, I need a heart reset. What's going to help with a heart reset? Godly music in your life. It's going to reset your heart on praise. It's going to reset where your thinking's at, from on yourself to on to God, as we studied in Psalm 77 this morning in Sunday school. In Psalm 7, verse number 17, it says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. I will do that. Heart reset. You ever get out of bed on the wrong side of the bed? No, preacher, I never have that problem. Yeah, we all do. We all have those days where, you know, we just wake up negative. Like, it's raining out. It's going to be a bad day. You know what we need? We need resets. And godly music is a helpful reset in our lives. It's an important thing. The psalmist went to it over and over and over again. He says, my heart is fixed, O God. There's a reset. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I'm going to get my heart going in the right direction. Lord, it's going to be on you. What's going to help that to continue? I will sing and I will praise. The ministry of music to yourself. Philippians chapter 4. Turn over there, if you will. I really believe that music is a part of our walking with the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, it's dealing with people that maybe have some anxiety about things. You know the passage well. Verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's prayer in our lives. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Or the result of putting your burdens in God's hand is a peace that passes understanding. And then he says this, now for ongoing victory in your life over that anxiety, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Huh. I wonder what's going to help me to think on things that are true and honest and of good report and lovely and just. Where could I go to find something that will help my mind to go in that direction? Oh, godly music. It'll help my mind. It will help it continue with the peace that God gives as a result of leaving my burdens with Him, the ministry of music in your heart. Ministry, godly music prepares us for battle and can be used as an expression of faith. This is a powerful principle in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 or chapter 20. Judah was going to battle. The tribe of Judah was going to battle. But before they went to battle, the Bible says He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Listen to this phrase tonight from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. When did He set the ambushments? When they began to sing and to praise. They were going into warfare. What'd they do? Hey, you singers over here, could when we march out, could you just start singing before we actually get in the battle? Yes, sir, King. They started singing. And the Lord brought deliverance. Music prepared them. I don't know if it gave them courage. I don't know if it gave them peace going out to battle, but there was a reason the king said, hey, let's sing and praise before we go out into the battle. And it was after they sang in praise that God gave them victory. It prepares us for battle. Hey, it's good to sing a song in the morning because you have no idea what battle you're going to face throughout the day. We learn a principle from here. Godly music in your heart. It centers our minds on truth. It calms the soul as it did for Saul with David. Saul, when he heard David's music, his attitude changed. His outlook was brighter. Someone said this, evil flees godly music. I believe we see that in the life of Saul. He had an evil spirit in him, but David played music that did what? It affected Saul's spirit. It brought him from an evil spirit to a controlled spirit, to a peaceful spirit. Brethren, I can't go on enough tonight about the benefits of godly music in your life. Your commitment to get godly music in. Now, let me say this. If you get the wrong music in, it's not going to accomplish any of those things that we talked about. You've got to get godly music in your heart. Godly music accomplishes these things. Let me get to the music of the home tonight, the music of the home, and then we'll hit the music of the church next week. The music, the ministry of music in your home. Let me give you some practical things, parents, as you guard your home in this area, and as you also not only guard, but you also seek to bring good stuff into the home. I want to give you a number of practical things tonight because we want our homes to be filled with the Spirit, do we not? Do we not want our... You want your home under the control of Hollywood? Or you want your home under the control of the Spirit? There's a drastic difference between those two. And it's possible to contribute things into your home that will allow your home to be under the control of the Spirit of God, or for there to be a spiritual atmosphere in your home. Guess what? What? One thing, there's a big thing that deals with that. It's the music. What you have in your home is music. So let me give you some practical things. Number one, use music to introduce your little ones to Jesus. I remember with all of our children, I would sing those wee hours of the night when you get up and you don't want to be up. You'd like to be in bed, but they're up. And so you hold them on your shoulder. And you sing, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And you sing, Jesus loves the little children. Soft tones, but get that message across. Music's a great way to get it across because guess what? They remember it. They learn it. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you? Man, we sang those songs over and over and over again to our children. Use music in your home to introduce your little ones to Jesus. Use that. Train your children to sing the songs in church. Preacher, isn't this kind of obvious? Yeah, it is till about the time they're 13 or 14. And then it's like we grew out of the need to sing in church. And we ought not to grow out of that. Singing is a response to the Lord for all that God is and all that God has done. My friend, when you go to church, you ought to sing with an overflowing heart of response to God for what God's done for you. Christian young people in our church, hear me. It's not cool to God not to sing. That's not cool. It's not cool to God. God's looking down and saying, man, I died for you. I have a mansion prepared for you in heaven. I forgave you of all your sin. And you can't open your mouth to sing verses that praise my name? Think of that. The next time you keep your mouth shut during a congregational song, think about that. God's watching. There's some practical things tonight. Teach them to sing. Teach them to sing. Let them pick out favorite hymns in their family devotions. We do this. We've done it for a long time. We sing together. Now we sing together in church. Let them pick out favorite hymns. Share hymn stories. Develop the proper appetite for godly music in your home by investing in good music. And brethren, we put a lot down in the church bookstore so that you can get good stuff. Teach them a spirit of cooperation with leadership and to resist the temptation of becoming critical to others. I'm giving you practical things now. Some of you, you have people that have gifts in your home in the area of music. That's a wonderful thing. But can I warn you about those gifts? There are two things that come with them. Number one, there is a type of pride that can come with that, that you think that you're elevated and everybody else is down here. Teach your musicians to resist that spirit. Number two, teach them to cooperate with leadership. Guess what? They may not always work with somebody in a local church that knows as much about music as they do. But somebody else is in charge. And so teach them to have a cooperative spirit, an easy spirit to work with the people that they're working with in the ministry of music. Teach them faithfulness to develop and to use their gifts. Teach them flexibility that if the leadership chooses someone else, it's okay. It's not a big deal. There's a phrase we teach in our family. Oh, well. Oh, well. No big deal. Learn the oh, well. Learn to have that kind of heart. Don't learn to take everything so personal and feel like you're rejected and all of that. Oh, well. God will use me where He wants to use me. I'm available. If God doesn't want to use me there, God will use me somewhere else. Teach that. These are good things to teach. Teach preparation to minister, not to perform. Teach your children as they're preparing. You know, they're playing the piano. They're working on a very important piece. What is that all about? Listen, as you're playing that thing, I know you're trying to get better. I know you're trying to do better. But hear me. Play it unto the Lord. Lord, I'm taking time to play this piece at home. And Lord, I'm thinking about the words, a mighty fortress is my God. Lord, you're my fortress. And Lord, I'm doing it as unto you. Otherwise, brethren, we get a performance mentality. And a performance mentality is where ministry stops. We've got to have a response mentality. My heart responding to the Lord. Music is a way that that can happen. Teach faithfulness to church and to your ministry. There's no ministry without faithfulness, gentlemen, ladies. We can't use people that aren't faithful. You got to be committed to be used. You got to be committed to a job. You don't go into a job and say, hey, you know, I'm going to willing to work for you Monday at 3 to 5 and Friday from 10 to midnight, but that's it. No, you go into a job, guess what? You make a commitment. I'm willing to work, and I'm willing to work 40 hours a week, and I'm willing to work these hours. The same is true with your church and your ministry. It is a commitment. It demands faithfulness. And parents, as we're bringing up children in our home and working on the ministry of music in our home, these are things that we ought to give them to. Last thing I give you on the ministry of music in the home, and I'm done tonight, is if your child has a desire to learn an instrument, get them training. All right? Don't try to do this thing homemade, okay? Well, I just think that they could teach themselves. No, there's a benefit of putting them under somebody who knows what they're doing in that area, who can shape them and develop them and teach them and grow them. Get them training. Trust me, the cost will pay off down the road. You flip the bill, so to speak, to help them to get the training that they need. And start them out with a piano. The way we did it with our children is we started them with a piano. We tried to lay some basic groundwork with the piano, some musical theory. Then as they committed themselves and we could see whether or not they were going to develop gifts in this area, then we started them with an instrument if they committed to practice and if they took piano lessons consistently for a year and gave themselves to it diligently, we promised to buy them an instrument that they would like. We didn't waste money where they didn't show commitment. And so some practical things, just some practical things tonight on the ministry of music in the home. Next week we'll come back and talk about the ministry of music in the church. Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.